following is Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars, author unknown. Operation Research Technical Manual TM-SW7905.1. Welcome aboard. This publication marks the 25th anniversary of the Third World War, called the Quiet War, being conducted using subjective biological warfare fought with silent weapons. This book contains an introductory description of this war, its strategies, and its weaponry. May, 1979, number 74, 1120. Security. It is patently impossible to discuss social engineering or the automation of society, i.e., the engineering of social automation systems, silent weapons, on a national or worldwide scale, without implying extensive objectives of social control and destruction of human life, i.e., slavery and genocide. This manual is in itself an analog declaration of intent. Such a writing must be secured from public scrutiny, otherwise it might be recognized as a technically formal declaration of domestic war. Furthermore, whenever any person or group of persons in a position of great power, and without full knowledge and consent of the public, uses such knowledge and methodologies for economic conquest, it must be understood that a state of domestic warfare exists between said person or group of persons and the public. The solution of today's problems requires an approach which is ruthlessly candid, with no agonizing over religious, moral, or cultural values. You have qualified for this project because of your ability to look at human society with cold objectivity, and yet analyze and discuss your observations and conclusions with others of similar intellectual capacity without the loss of discretion or humility. Such virtues are exercised in your own best interest. Do not deviate from them. Historical Introduction. Silent weapon technology has evolved from operations research, a strategic and tactical methodology developed under the military management in England during World War II. The original purpose of operations research was to study the strategic and tactical problems of air and land defense with the objective of effective use of limited military resources against foreign enemies, i.e. logistics. It was soon recognized by those in positions of power that the same methods might be useful for totally controlling a society, but better tools were necessary. Social engineering, the analysis and automation of a society, requires the correlation of great amounts of constantly changing economic information, so a high-speed computerized data processing system was necessary which would race ahead of society and predict when society would arrive for capitulation. Relay computers were too slow, but the electronic computer invented in 1946 by J. Presper Eckert and John W. McCulley filled the bill. The next breakthrough was the development of the simplex method of linear programming in 1947 by the mathematician George B. Danzig. Then, in 1948, the transistor invented by J. Bardeen, W. H. Brayton, and W. Shockley promised great expansion of the computer field by reducing space and power requirements. With these three inventions under their direction, those in positions of power strongly suspected that it was possible for them to control the whole world with the push of a button. Immediately, the Rockefeller Foundation got in on the ground floor by making a four-year grant to Harvard College, funding the Harvard Economic Research Project for the study of the structure of the American economy. 1 year later, in 1949, the United States Air Force joined in. In 1952, the grant period terminated, and a high-level meeting of the elite was held to determine the next phase of social operations research. The Harvard Project had been very fruitful, as is borne out of the publication of some of its results in 1953, suggesting the feasibility of economic social engineering. Studies in the Structure of the American Economy, copyright 1953, by Wesley Leontief, International Science Press Incorporated, White Plains, New York. Engineered in the last half of the decade of the 1940s, the new quiet war machine stood, so to speak, in sparkling gold-plated hardware on the showroom floor by 1954. With the creation of the Macer in 1954, the promise of unlocking unlimited sources of fusion atomic energy from the heavy hydrogen in seawater and the consequent availability of unlimited social power was a possibility only decades away. The combination was irresistible. The Quiet War was quietly declared by the international elite at a meeting held in 1954. Although the silent weapon systems was nearly exposed 13 years later, the evolution of the new weapon systems has never suffered any major setbacks. This volume marks the 25th anniversary of the beginning of the Quiet War. Already, this domestic war has had many victories on many fronts throughout the world. Political introduction. In 1954, it was well recognized by those in positions of authority that it was only a matter of time, only a few decades, before the general public would be able to grasp and upset the cradle of power, for the very elements of the new silent weapon technology were as accessible for a public utopia as they were for providing a private utopia. The issue of primary concern, that of dominance, revolved around the subject of energy sciences. Energy. Energy is recognized as the key to all activity on Earth. Natural science is the study of the sources and control of natural energy. And social science, theoretically expressed as economics, is the study of the sources and control of social energy. Both are bookkeeping systems, mathematics. Therefore, mathematics is the primary energy science, and the bookkeeper can be king if the public can be kept ignorant of the methodology of the bookkeeping. All science is merely a means to an end. The means is knowledge, the end is control. Beyond this remains only one issue. Who will be the beneficiary? In 1954, this was the issue of primary concern. Although the so-called moral issues were raised, in view of the law of natural selection, it was agreed that a nation or world of people who will not use their intelligence are no better than animals who do not have intelligence. Such people are beasts of burden and stakes on the table by choice and consent. Consequently, in the interest of future world order, peace and tranquility, it was decided to privately wage a quiet war against the American public, with an ultimate objective of permanently shifting the natural and social energy, wealth, of the undisciplined and irresponsible many into the hands of the self-disciplined, responsible, and worthy few. In order to implement this objective, it was necessary to create, secure, and apply new weapons which, as it turned out, were a class of weapons so subtle and sophisticated in their principle of operation and public appearance as to earn for themselves the name silent weapons. In conclusion, the objective of economic research, as conducted by the magnates of capital, banking, and the industries of commodities, goods, and services, is the establishment of an economy which is totally predictable and manipulatable. In order to achieve a totally predictable economy, the low-class elements of society must be brought under total control, i.e., must be housebroken, trained, and assigned a yoke and long-term social duties from a very early age, before they have an opportunity to question the propriety of the matter. In order to achieve such conformity, the lower class family unit must be disintegrated by a process of increasing preoccupation of the parents and the establishment of government-operated daycare centers for the occupationally orphaned children. The quality of the education given to the lower class must be of the poorest sort, so that the mote of ignorance isolating the inferior class from the superior class is and remains incomprehensible to the inferior class. With such an initial handicap, even bright lower-class individuals have little, if any, hope of extricating themselves from their assigned lot in life. This form of slavery is essential to maintain some measure of social order, peace, and tranquility for the ruling upper class. Descriptive introduction of silent weapons. Everything that is expected from an ordinary weapon is expected from a silent weapon by its creators, but only in its own manner of functioning. It shoots situations instead of bullets, propelled by data processing instead of chemical reaction. Originating from bits of data instead of grains of gunpowder, from a computer instead of a gun, operated by a computer programmer instead of a marksman, under the orders of a banking magnate instead of a military general. It makes no obvious explosive noise, causes no obvious physical or mental injuries, and does not obviously interfere with anyone's daily social life. Yet it makes an unmistakable noise, causes unmistakable physical and mental damage, and unmistakably interferes with the daily social life, i.e., unmistakable to a trained observer, one who knows what to look for. The public cannot comprehend this weapon, and therefore cannot believe that they are being attacked and subdued by a weapon. The public might instinctively feel that something is wrong, but that is because of the technical nature of the silent weapon. They cannot express their feeling in a rational way, or handle the problem with intelligence. Therefore, they do not know how to cry for help, and do not know how to associate with others to defend themselves against it. When a silent weapon is applied gradually, the public adjusts and adapts to its presence and learns to tolerate its encroachment on their lives, until the pressure, psychological via economic, becomes too great and they crack up. Therefore, the silent weapon is a type of biological warfare. It attacks the vitality, options, and mobility of the individuals of a society by knowing, understanding, manipulating, and attacking their sources of natural and social energy, their physical, mental, and emotional strengths and weaknesses. Theoretical introduction. Give me control over a nation's currency, and I care not who makes its laws. Mayor Amschel Rothschild, 1743-1812. Today's silent weapon technology is an outgrowth of a simple idea discovered, succinctly expressed, and effectively applied by the quote of Mr. Mayor Amschel Rothschild. Mr. Rothschild discovered the missing passive component of economic theory, known as economic inductance. He, of course, did not think of his discovery in these 20th century terms, and, to be sure, mathematical analysis had to wait for the Second Industrial Revolution. The rise of the theory of mechanics and electronics, and finally, the invention of the electronic computer before it could be effectively applied in the control of the world economy. General energy concepts. In the study of energy systems, there always appears three elementary concepts. These are potential energy, kinetic energy, and energy dissipation. And corresponding to these concepts, there are three idealized, essentially pure physical counterparts called passive components. In the science of physical mechanics, the phenomenology of potential energy is associated with a physical property called elasticity or stiffness, and can be represented by a stretching spring. In electronic science, potential energy is stored in a capacitor instead of a spring. This property is called capacitance instead of elasticity or stiffness. In the science of physical mechanics, the phenomena of kinetic energy is associated with a physical property called inertia or mass, and can be represented by a mass or a flywheel in motion. In electronic science, kinetic energy is stored in an inductor, in a magnetic field, instead of a mass. This property is called inductance instead of inertia. In the science of physical mechanics, the phenomena of energy dissipation is associated with the physical property called friction or resistance, and can be represented by a dashpot or other device which converts energy into heat. In electronic science, dissipation of energy is performed by an element called either a resistor or a conductor, the term resistor being the one generally used to describe a more ideal device, e.g. wire, employed to convey electronic energy effectively from one location to another. The property of resistance or conductor is measured as either resistance or conductance reciprocals. In economics, these three energy concepts are associated with 1. Economic capacitance, capital, money, stock inventory, investments in buildings and durables, etc. Economic conductance, goods, production flow coefficients. Economic inductance, services, the influence of the population of industry on output. All the mathematical theory developed in the study of one energy system, e.g. mechanics, electronics, etc., can be immediately applied to the study of any other energy system, e.g. economics. Mr. Rothschild's energy discovery. What Mr. Rothschild had discovered was the basic principle of power, influence, and control over people as applied to economics. The principle was, when you assume the appearance of power, people soon give it to you. Mr. Rothschild had discovered that currency, or deposit loan accounts, had the required appearance of power that could be used to induce people, inductance with people corresponding to a magnetic field, into surrendering their real wealth in exchange for a promise of greater wealth instead of real compensation. They would put up real collateral in exchange for a loan of promissory notes. Mr. Rothschild found that he could issue more notes than he had backing for, so long as he had someone's stock of gold as a persuader to show his customers. Mr. Rothschild loaned his promissory notes to individuals and to governments. These would create overconfidence. Then he would make money scarce, tighten control of the system, and collect the collateral through the obligation of contracts. The cycle was then repeated. These pressures could be used to ignite a war. Then he would control the availability of currency to determine who would win the war. That government which agreed to give him control of its economic system got his support. Collection of debts was guaranteed by economic aid to the enemy of the debtor. The profit derived from this economic methodology made Mr. Rothschild all the more able to expand his wealth. He found that the public greed would allow currency to be printed by government order beyond the limits of backing in precious metals or the production of goods and services. Apparent capital as paper inductor. In this structure, credit, presented as a pure element called currency, has the appearance of capital, but is in effect negative capital. Hence, it has the appearance of service, but is, in fact, indebtedness or debt. It is therefore an economic inductance instead of an economic capacitance. And, if balanced in no other way, will be balanced by the negation of population, war and genocide. The total goods and services represent real capital, called the gross national product. And currency may be printed up to this level and still represent economic capacitance. But currency printed beyond this level is subtractive, represents the introduction of economic inductance, and constitutes notes of indebtedness. War is therefore the balancing of the system by killing the true creditors, the public which we have taught to exchange true value for inflated currency, and falling back on whatever is left of the resources of nature and regeneration of those resources. Mr. Rothschild had discovered that currency gave him the power to rearrange the economic structure to his own advantage, to shift economic inductance to those economic positions which would encourage the greatest economic instability and oscillation. The final key to economic control had to wait until there was sufficient data and high-speed computing equipment to keep close watch on economic oscillations created by price shocking and excess paper energy credits, paper inductance slash inflation. Breakthrough. The aviation field provided the greatest evolution in economic engineering by way of the mathematical theory of shock testing. In this process, a projectile is fired from an airframe on the ground, and the impulse of the recoil is monitored by vibration transducers connected to the airframe and wired to chart recorders. By studying the echoes or reflections of the recoil impulse in the airframe, it is possible to discover critical vibrations in the structure of the airframe, which either vibrations, the engine or aeolian vibrations of the wings, or a combination of the two, might reinforce, resulting in a resonant self-destruction of the airframe in flight as an aircraft. From the standpoint of engineering, this means that the strength and weakness of the structure of the airframe, in terms of vibrational energy, can be discovered and manipulated. Application in economics. To use this method of airframe shock testing in economic engineering, the prices of commodities are shocked, and the public consumer reaction is monitored. The resulting echoes of the economic shock are interpreted theoretically by computers, and the psychoeconomic structure of the economy is thus discovered. It is by this process that partial differential and difference matrices are discovered that define the family household and make up its evaluation as an economic industry, dissipative consumer structure. Then the response of the household to future shocks can be predicted and manipulated, and society becomes a well-regulated animal with its reins under the control of a sophisticated, computer-regulated, social energy bookkeeping system. Eventually, every individual element of the structure comes under computer control through a knowledge of personal preferences, such knowledge guaranteed by computer association of consumer preferences, universal product code, UPC, zebra-striped pricing codes on packages, with identified consumers, identified via association with the use of a credit card, and later, a permanent tattooed body number invisible under normal ambient illumination. Summary: economics is only a social extension of a natural energy system. It also has its three passive components. Because of the distribution of wealth and the lack of communication and lack of data, this field has been the last energy field for which a knowledge of these three passive components has been developed. Since energy is the key to all activity on the face of the earth, it follows that in order to attain a monopoly of energy, raw materials, goods and services, and to establish a world system of slave labor, it is necessary to have a first strike capability in the field of economics. In order to maintain our position, it is necessary that we have absolute first knowledge of the science of control over all economic factors and the first experience at engineering the world economy. In order to achieve such sovereignty, we must at least achieve this one end, that the public will not make either the logical or mathematical connection between economics and the other energy sciences, or learn to apply such knowledge. This is becoming increasingly difficult to control, because more and more businesses are making demands on their computer programmers to create and apply mathematical models for the management of those businesses. It is only a matter of time before the new breed of private programmer slash economists will catch on to the far-reaching implications of the work begun at Harvard in 1948. The speed with which they can communicate their warning to the public will largely depend on how effective we have been at controlling the media, subverting education, and keeping the public distracted with matters of no real importance. The economic model. Economics, as a social energy science, has as a first objective the description of the complex way in which any given unit of resource is used to satisfy some economic want. Leontief matrix. This first objective, when it is extended to get the most product from the least or limited resources, comprises that objective of general military and industrial logistics, known as operations research. See Simplex Method of Linear Programming. The Harvard Economic Research Project, 1948, was an extension of World War II operations research. Its purpose was to discover the science of controlling an economy, at first the American economy, and then the world economy. It was felt that with sufficient mathematical foundation and data, it would be nearly as easy to predict and control the trend of an economy as to predict and control the trajectory of a projectile. Such has proven to be the case. Moreover, the economy has been transformed into a guided missile on target. The immediate aim of the Harvard project was to discover the economic structure, what forces change that structure, how the behavior of the structure can be predicted, and how it can be manipulated. What was needed was a well-organized knowledge of the mathematical structures and interrelationships of investment, production, distribution, and consumption. To make a short story of it all, it was discovered that an economy obeyed the same laws as electricity, and that all of the mathematical theory and practical and computer know-how developed for the electronic field could be directly applied in the study of economics. This discovery was not openly declared, and its more subtle implications were and are kept a closely guarded secret. For example, that in an economic model, human life is measured in dollars, and that the electric spark generated when opening a switch connection to an active inductor is mathematically analogous to the initiation of war. The greatest hurdle which theoretical economists faced was the accurate description of the household as an industry. This is a challenge because consumer purchases are a matter of choice, which in turn is influenced by income, price, and other economic factors. This hurdle was cleared in an indirect and statistically approximate way by an application of shock testing to determine the current characteristics, called current technical coefficients, of a household industry. Finally, because problems in theoretical electronics can be translated very easily into problems of theoretical electronics. I think that's a typo. I think it should be economics. But I'll read it the right way. Finally, because problems in theoretical electronics can be translated very easily into problems of theoretical electronics, and the solution translated back again, it follows that only a book of language translation and concept definition needed to be written for economics. The remainder could be gotten from standard works on mathematical and electronics. This makes the publication of books on advanced economics unnecessary, and greatly simplifies project security. Industrial diagrams. An ideal industry is defined as a device which receives value from other industries in several forms and converts them into one specific product for sales and distribution to other industries. It has several inputs and one output. What the public normally thinks of as one industry is really an industrial complex, where several industries under one roof produce one or more products. A pure, single-output industry can be represented over simply by a circuit block as follows. The flow of the product from industry number 1, supply, to industry number 2, demand, is denoted by I. The total flow of the industry, K, is denoted by IK, sales, etc. A three-industry network can be diagrammed as follows. A node is a symbol of collection and distribution of flow. Node number 3 receives from industry number 3 and distributes to industries 1 and 3. If industry number 3 manufactures chairs, then a flow from industry 3 back into industry 3 simply indicates that industry 3 is using parts of its own product, for example, as office furniture. Therefore, the flow may be summarized by the equations. And you guys can read those for yourself. Three industrial classes. Industries fall into three categories or classes by type of output. Class 1, capital resources. Class 2, goods, commodities, or use, dissipative. Class 3, services, action of population. Class 1 industries exist at three levels. Nature, sources of energy and raw materials. Government, printing of currency equal to the gross national product, an extension of currency in excess of GNP. Banking, loaning of money for interest and extension. Inflation counterfeiting, of economic value through the deposit loan accounts. Class number 2. Industries exist as producers of tangible or consumer dissipated products. This sort of activity is usually recognized and labeled by the public as industry. Class 3 industries are those which have service rather than a tangible product as their output. These industries are called households and governments. Their output is human activity of a mechanical sort, and their basis is population. Aggregation. The whole economic system can be represented by a three-industry model if one allows the names of the outputs to be 1, capital, 2, goods, and 3, services. The problem with this representation is that it would not show the influence, say, the textile industry on the ferrous metal industry. This is because both the textile industry and the ferrous metal industry would be contained within a single classification called the goods industry. And by this process of combining or aggregating these two industries under one system block, they would lose their economic individuality. The E model. A national economy consists of simultaneous flows of production, distribution, consumption, and investment. If all of these elements include labor and human functions, are assigned a numerical value in the like units of measure, say, $1939, then this flow can be further represented by a current flow in an electric circuit, and its behavior can be predicted and manipulated with useful precision. Three ideal passive energy components of electronics, the capacitor, the resistor, and the inductor, correspond to three ideal passive energy components of economics, called the pure industries of capital, goods, and services, respectively. Economic capacitance represents the storage of capital in one form or another. Economic conductance represents the level of conductance of materials for the production of goods. Economic inductance represents the inertia of economic value in motion. This is a population phenomenon known as services. Economic inductance. An electrical inductor, e.g. coil or wire, has an electric current as its primary phenomena and a magnetic field as its secondary phenomena. Corresponding to this, an economic inductor has a flow of economic value as its primary phenomena and a population field as its secondary field phenomena of inertia. When the flow of economic value, money, diminishes, the human population field collapses in order to keep the economic value flowing. Extreme case, war. This public inertia is a result of consumer buying habits, expected standard of living, etc., and is generally a phenomena of self-preservation. Inductive factors to consider. Population, magnitude of the economic activities of the government, the method of financing these government activities. See Peter Paul Principle, Inflation of the Currency. Translation. A few examples will be given. Charge, Columbus dollars, 1939. Flow, / current, amperes. Columns per second. Flow / current, amperes, dollars of flow per year. Motivating force, volts, dollar output or demand. Conductance, amperes per volt, dollars of flow per year per dollar demand. Capacitance, columns per volt, dollars of production, inventory / stock, per dollar demand. Time flow relationships and self-destructive oscillations. An ideal industry may be symbolized electronically in various ways. The simplest way is to represent demand by a voltage and a supply by current. When this is done, the relationship between the two becomes what is called an admittance, which can result from the three economic factors, 1. Foresight flow, 2. Present flow, and 3. Hindsight flow. Foresight flow is the result of that property of living entities to cause energy, food, to be stored for a period of low energy, e.g. winter season. It consists of demands made upon an economic system for that period of low energy, winter season. Foresight flow is the result of that property of living entities to cause energy, food, to be stored for a period of low energy, e.g. winter seasons. It consists of demands made upon an economic system for that period of low energy, winter. In a production industry, it takes several forms, one of which is known as production stock or inventory. In electronic symbology, this refers to industry demand. A pure capital industry is represented by capacitance, and the stock or resource is represented by a stored charge. Satisfaction of an industry demand suffers a lag because of the loading effect of inventory priorities. Present flow ideally involves no delays. It is, so to speak, input today for output today, a hand-to-mouth flow. In electronic symbology, this specific industry demand, a pure us industry, is represented by a conductance which is then a simple economic value, a dissipative element. Hindsight flow is known as a habit or inertia. In electronics, this phenomenon is the characteristic of an inductor, economic analog, a pure service industry, in which a current flow, economic analog equals flow of money, creates a magnetic field, economic analog, human, active human population. which, if the current money flow begins to diminish, collapse, war, to maintain the current flow of money, other large alternatives to war as economic inductors or economic flywheels, other large alternatives to war as economic inductors or economic flywheels are an open-ended social welfare program or an enormous but fruitful open-ended space program. The problem with stabilizing the economic system is that there is too much demand on account of 1. Too much greed, and 2. Too much population. This creates excessive economic inductance, which can only be balanced with economic capacitance, true resources or value, e.g. in goods or services. The social welfare program is nothing more than an open-ended credit balance system which creates a false capital industry to give non-productive people a roof over their heads and food in their stomachs. This can be useful, however, because the recipients become state property in return for the gift, a standing army for the elite, for he who pays the piper picks the tune. Those who get hooked on the economic drug must go to the elite for a fix. In this, the method of introducing large amounts of stabilizing capacitance is by borrowing on the future credit of the world. This is a fourth law of motion, onset, and consists of performing an action and leaving the system before the reflected reaction returns to a point of action, a delayed reaction. The means of surviving the reaction is by changing the system before the reaction can return. By this means, politicians become more popular in their own time and the public pays later. In fact, the measure of such a politician is the delay of time. The same thing is achieved by a government by printing money beyond the limit of gross national product, and economic processes called inflation. This puts a large quantity of money into the hands of the public and maintains a balance against their greed, creates a false self-confidence in them, and, for a while, stays the wolf from the door. They must eventually resort to war to balance the account, because war ultimately is merely the act of destroying the creditor. And the politicians are the publicly hired hitmen that justify the act to keep the responsibility and blood off the public conscience. See section on consent factors and social economic structuring. If the people really cared about their fellow man, they would control their appetites, greed, procreation, etc., so that they would not have to operate on a creditor welfare social system, which steals from the worker to satisfy the bum. Since most of the general public will not exercise restraint, there are only two alternatives to reduce the economic inductance of the system. Let the population bludgeon each other to death in war, which will only result in a total destruction of the living earth. Take control of the world by use of economic silent weapons in a form of quiet warfare, and reduce the economic inductance of the world to a safe level by a process of benevolent slavery and genocide. The latter option has been taken as the obviously better option. At this point, it should be crystal clear to the reader why absolute secrecy about the silent weapons is necessary. The general public refuses to improve its own mentality and its faith in its fellow man. It has become a herd of proliferating barbarians and, so to speak, a blight upon the face of the earth. They do not care enough about economic science to learn why they have not been able to avoid war despite religious morality, and their religious or self-gratifying refusal to deal with earthly problems renders the solution of earthly problem unreachable to them. It is left to those who are truly willing to think and survive as the fittest to survive, to solve the problem for themselves as the few who really care. Otherwise, exposure of silent weapons would destroy our only hope of preserving the seed of the future of true humanity. Industry equivalent circuits. The industry queue can be given a block symbol as follows. Block diagram of industry queue. Terminals number 1 through M are connected directly to the outputs of industries, number 1 and M respectively. The equivalent circuit of industry queue is as follows. Arrow denotes direction of flow of capital, goods, and services. All inputs are at 0 volts. A amplifier causes output current IQ to be represented by the voltage EQ. Amplifier delivers sufficient current at EQ to drive all loads, Y, through YMQ, and sync all currents IQ through IMQ. The unit transconductance amplifier AQ is constructed as follows. Arrows denote the direction of flow of goods and services. The total demand is given as EQ, where EQ equals IQ. The coupling network YPQ symbolizes the demand which industry Q makes on industry P. The connective admittance YPQ is called the technical coefficient of the industry. Q, stating the demand of industry Q, called the industry of use, for the output of capital, goods, or services of industry P, called the industry of origin. Flow of common commodities from industry P to industry Q is given by IPQ, equivalent by the formula IPQ equals YPQ by EQ. When the admittance YPQ is simple conductance, the formula takes on common appearance of Ohm's law, IPQ equals GPQ equals by IQ. The interconnection of three industry systems can be diagrammed as follows. The blocks of industry diagram can be opened by revealing the technical coefficients and a much simpler format. The equations of flow are given as follows. All of this may now be summarized. Let IJ represent the output of industry J. IJK, the amount of product of industry J absorbed annually by industry K. And IJO, the amount of the same product J made available for outside use. Then, substituting the technical coefficients YJK, which is the general equation of every admittance in the industry circuit. Final bill of goods is called the final bill of goods or bill of final demand and is zero when the system can be closed by the evaluation of the technical coefficients and non-productive industries, government and households. Households may be regarded as productive industry with labor as its output product. Technical coefficients. The quantities YJK are called the technical coefficients of the industrial system. They are admittances and can consist of any combination of three passive parameters, conductance, capacitance, and inductance. Diodes are used to make the flow unidirectional and point against the flow. The household industry. The industries of finance, banking, manufacturing, and government, real counterparts of the pure industries of capital, goods, and services, are easily defined because they are generally logistically constructed, because of their processes, can be described mathematically, and their technical coefficient can be easily deduced. This, however, is not the case with the service industry known as the household industry. Household models. When the industry flow diagram is represented by a two-block system of households on the right and all other industries on the left, the following results. The arrows from left to right, labeled A, B, C, etc., denote the flow of economic value from the industries in the left-hand block to the industry in the right-hand block, called households. These may be thought of as the monthly consumer flows of the following commodities: alcoholic beverages, beef, coffee, you, unknown, etc. The problem which a theoretical economist faces is that the consumer preferences of any household is not easily predictable, and the technical coefficients of any one household tend to be nonlinear, a very complex and variable function of income, prices, etc. Computer information derived from the use of universal product code in conjunction with credit card purchases as an individual household identifier could change the state of affairs, but the UPC method is not yet available on a national or even significant regional scale. To compensate for this data deficiency, an alternative indirect approach of analysis has been adopted, known as economic shock testing. This method, widely used in the aircraft manufacturing industry, develops an aggregate statistical sort of data. Applied to economics, this means that all sort of households in one region or in the whole nation are studied as a group or class rather than individually, and the mass behavior rather than the individual behavior is used to discover estimates of the technical coefficients governing the economic structure of the hypothetical single household industry. Notice in the industry flow diagram that the values for the flows A, B, C, etc. are accessible to measurement in terms of selling price and total sales of commodities. One method of evaluating the technical coefficient of the household industry depends on shocking the prices of a commodity and noting the change in the sales of all the commodities. Economic shock testing. In recent times, the application of operations research to the study of public economy has been obvious for anyone who understands the principle of shock testing. In the shock testing of an aircraft airframe, the recoil impulse of firing a gun mounted on that airframe causes shock waves in that structure, which tell aviation engineers the conditions under which some parts of the airplane, or the whole airplane, or its wings, will start to vibrate or flutter like a guitar string, a flute reed, or a tuning fork, and disintegrate or fall apart in flight. Economic engineers achieve the same result in studying the behavior of the economy and the consumer public by carefully selecting a staple commodity, such as beef, coffee, gasoline, or sugar, and then causing a sudden change or shock in its price or availability, thus kicking everybody's budget and buying habits out of shape. They then observe the shock waves which result by monitoring the changes in advertising, prices, and sales of that and other commodities. The objective of such studies is to acquire the know-how to set the public economy into a predictable state of motion or change. Even a controlled self-destructive state of motion, which will convince the public that certain expert people should take control of the money system and re-establish security, rather than liberty and justice for all. When the subject citizens are rendered unable to control their financial affairs, they of course become totally enslaved, a source of cheap labor. Not only the prices of commodities, but also the availability of labor can be used as means of shock testing. Labor strikes deliver excellent test shocks to an economy, especially in the crucial service areas of trucking, communication, public utilities, etc. By shock testing, it is found that there is a direct relationship between the availability of money flowing in an economy and the real psychological outlook and response of masses of people dependent on that availability. For example, there is a measurable quantitative relationship between the price of gasoline and the probability that a person would experience a headache, feel a need to watch a violent movie, smoke a cigarette, or go to a tavern for a mug of beer. It is most interesting that by observing and measuring the economic models by which the public tries to run from their problems and escape from reality, and by applying the mathematical theory of operations research, it is possible to program computers to predict the most probable combination of created events, shocks, which will bring about a complete control and subjugation of the public through a subversion of the public economy by shaking the plum tree. Introduction to the theory of economic shock testing. Let the prices and total sales of commodities be given and symbolized as follows. Let us assume a simple economic model in which the total number of important staple commodities are represented as beef, gasoline, and an aggregate of all other staple commodities, which we will call the hypothetical miscellaneous staple commodity M. Example of shock testing. Assume that the total sales of P, of petroleum products, can be described by the linear function of the quantities B, G, and M, which are functions of the prices of those respective commodities. Then, where B, G, and M are functions of the prices of beef, gasoline, and miscellaneous respectively, and are consistent coefficients defining the amount by which each of the functions B, G, and M affect the sales of P, of petroleum products, we are assuming that B, G, and M are variables independent of each other. If the availability of prices of gasoline is suddenly changed, then G must be replaced. This causes a change in the petroleum sales from P. Also, we will assume that B and M remain constant when G changes. This is the rate of change in P due only to an isolated change in G. In general, AJK is a partial rate of change in the sales of effect of J, due to the change in the causal price function of commodity K. If the interval of time were infinitesimal, this expression would be reduced to the definition total differential of a function P. When the price of gasoline is shocked, all of the coefficients with round G in the denominator are evaluated at the same time. If B, G, and M were independent, and sufficiently descriptive of the economy, then three shock tests would be necessary to evaluate the system. There are other factors which may be represented the same way. For example, the tendency of a docile subnation to withdraw under economic pressure may be given. Where G is the price of gasoline, W is the dollars spent on unit time, referenced to, say, 1939, for war production during peacetime, etc. These quantities are presented to a computer in matrix format as follows. This is the result into which we substitute to get that set of conditions of prices of commodities, bad news on TV, etc., which will deliver a collapse of public morale ripe for a takeover. Once the economic price and sales coefficient of AJK and BKJ are determined, they may be translated into technical supply and demand coefficients, and ILJK over LJK. Shock testing of a given commodity is then repeated to get the time rate of change of these technical coefficients.